This week, representatives from more than 190 nations have been gathering in Paris to participate in the 21st Conference of the Parties, COP21. And at the top of the agenda is climate change. The aim is to pull together a binding political agreement that everyone signs up to and which will, they say, limit future global temperature increases. But what are the chances of this actually working? And what challenges are politicians going to face in trying to implement the sorts of strategies that will be necessary to keep a lid on climate? First, I went to speak with Cambridge University's Julian Huppert, who, as well as being a scientist, is also a former Member of Parliament who's campaigned previously on environmental issues.
Well, what we have in Paris is the Conference of the Parties, all the players from around the world, governments, non-governmental organisations, coming together to try to work out what the options are to limit carbon emissions, to try to make sure that we don't see warming of more than 2 degrees. It's a slightly arbitrary figure. We know that 2 degrees is harmful, but it now seems almost impossible to achieve no change at all. So 2 degrees, I guess, is bad, but not too bad.
What is it actually going to take to do this? Is it even feasible? It's one thing getting people around a table. Are they actually going to achieve anything?
I think if you look at the history of all of these, one has to be somewhat sceptical about the long-term achievement. Some of these conferences have been successful, some less so. I don't think there's an option to say we can't do it. Nobody has a better way of achieving global change than by getting global organisations to work together. But it is hard to get people to work together on something like this. And there are a number of particular challenges for climate change. One is it's very hard to see it directly. People can't immediately see what's happening. It's a long-term programme. And it takes long-term action to achieve a solution. There's nothing that we can do that will fix things by tomorrow or undo the damage that's already been done. That makes it a really, really tricky political problem because it's all the things politicians wouldn't want. It's fairly intangible. It's very, very long-term. It's very hard to bring things back to where they want to be. And it relies a lot on people trusting things they can't actually see for themselves directly.
It's outside the political cycle, isn't it? Because in Britain, we vote every 5 years, in Australia, every 4 years. The consequence of that is people are looking at short-term things that will win them the next election, not necessarily giving people a hole in their pocket in order to look at something 100 years hence.
There's certainly an element of that, and politics is perhaps better than is sometimes portrayed at looking at longer-term issues, but they tend to be things where people immediately are aware. So there has been some useful work outside the political cycle looking at the care system in the UK, for example, because it's not hard for people to understand that people are getting older, their parents, grandparents, neighbours, whatever it might be, will be getting older, will need help. The problem with climate change is that you can look out of your window and not really notice it. That doesn't mean it's not real. It really is there, but it's less obviously there. And that makes it harder for politicians to pick up. But it is also the fact that it's just a very, very long-term issue.
Recently, we've seen the Premier in India saying, we are going to open a new coal-fired power station on roughly a monthly basis for many years to come. And we're going to do that because we need to. At the same time, you guys, you've had your cake and eaten it. You develop countries. So if you've got a problem with what we're doing, you sort it out. How do we deal with that?
I mean, it's a very frustrating attitude, but I can understand why. It certainly isn't right for us to say, look, we have all the power that we need. And frankly, people in the UK, for example, getting power is not a challenge for most people. It's very hard to say to a country like India, no, I'm sorry, you can't do this. I think part of the shame is that we haven't done enough early enough to provide really good alternatives. I don't think India would be interested in going ahead with coal-fired power stations if we had really good solutions, you know, better solar panels, better wind turbines at an affordable price.
One of the points that David Attenborough was making in Paris was we should get the scientists around the world who know how to deal with this problem, technologically speaking, together and just throw them at the problem and actually facilitate that interaction. So there is a tangible carbon neutral solution to the energy crisis we face.
I don't think it's as simple as that. The problem is working out how to actually make this happen, how to actually get the governmental buy-in to do things, because some of this will involve investment, how to get community-based buy-in. If we're talking about getting people to, for example, save energy emissions by not travelling to work as often, you know, huge effect in the UK on congestion, on air pollution, as well as on carbon emissions. If people even could work from home on average 1 day a week, that involves much more community-based human change. And I don't think sort of a bunch of scientists in the stereotypical ivory tower saying, aha, we have the answer, is likely to get implemented. We are not really short of ideas on how to reduce energy usage. We're not really short of ideas on how to generate energy. The problems are about the economics, about the societal impact, about making it actually happen.
Former MP and Cambridge University lecturer Julian Huppert. But